Good afternoon, and welcome to Live with Pastor Al. Got a Bible question? Wondering what to make of current events? Call now at 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. Now open your Bibles, open your minds, and join in the conversation with your host, Pastor Al Davis.
Well, good afternoon, and it is a joy to be with you today. Pastor Al is not here today or in here today in studio. You pray for Pastor Al. He's dealing with, helping with a family up at Metro, and just very dire situation there. So you pray for him that God will give him wisdom and compassion, that he'll be there with that family. But he called and asked if I would fill in today. My name is John Lutz. I pastor the North Coast Baptist Church in the city of Lakewood and consider it an absolute privilege and honor to be with you. We have a show right on before this, so if you've never heard of us, we're on at 1 o'clock from 1 to 1:30 basically, and then Pastor Al comes on from 1:30 to 2, and then Pastor Rusnacko over in Euclid, the Bible Baptist Temple, I think, in Euclid, is on at 2 o'clock. And so I hope that you can stick around for his service as well. But it is a joy to be with you. We are thankful for this opportunity. I went through, in the last half hour, I went through why we have to be aware of grace, make sure we've got the right idea about grace, the right understanding, the right interpretation of grace. I was thinking about this just in between the break. Sometimes people... they want to look at it kind of with blinders on. And what they say is this, well, you know, we're all trying to do the right thing, and, you know, we shouldn't be so negative towards other groups that maybe we disagree with, and, you know, we have to be so careful. I mean, there's a bigger enemy out there than you know, what's going on among churches, and we need to stay focused on that. And I guess my philosophy or my thought on that, and I think it's biblical, is the problem we are experiencing in our country today is a result of the misteaching and the falsehoods that have been spewing from pulpits all over this country for many, many years now, decades, if not centuries now, that or at least a century, I think really the late 1800s, after the Civil War, when Westcott and Hort came out with their Greek text, which is, if you have any other Bible other than a King James Bible, your text is based off of theirs. And they were Catholic sympathizers. They were Darwinian students. One of them in his diary wrote that he'd never read a book so beautiful as of Darwin's Origin of Species, and they were a mess, and that's why we're a mess today. And I was thinking about this. I thought, you know, you look at Elijah in the Old Testament, Elijah the prophet, when he went up to Ahab, and he was the man for the hour. He went up to Ahab, and Ahab did not like Elijah at all. But who did Elijah go after when he confronted Ahab? He didn't go after the cabinet, Ahab's cabinet. He went after the prophets of Baal. You know, the ones who were leading and teaching, the ones who were sitting around Jezebel's table. They were all eating, they were in cahoots with the government. And so he went after the prophets who were leading the people astray, the prophets who were influencing policy, the prophets that were influencing false worship and what they were teaching, that this is how you worship God, when it was really a false God. And Elijah came through and he said, you know, this is the true God and this is a false God. But see, all the people didn't know the difference at the time. So Elijah pulled all the people up onto Mount Carmel and he says, come on, I want to show you who the real deal is. And he did. And they, you know the story, they each took a bullock and they each built their altars and they both called on their gods. And Elijah actually mocked their gods. Oh, what is your, basically said, what is your God asleep? What is he, on vacation? Where is he at? Is he not listening to you? And he was actually being a mockery to them, because that's what you do to falsehood. That's what you do to fakes and phonies and idolaters. You point out to the people the foolishness of that. You know, I'm still ticked off at the priest who came up at the city council meeting and started doing the rosary just a few weeks ago. And I thought to myself, you know, up to that point, they hadn't passed anything, but boy, he shows up and does that idolatrous stuff with the rosary. And that's idolatry, guys. That's what that is. Well, you know, that's their religion. It's false. It's a false religion. God says, don't do that. You know, don't change the Ten Commandments to get away from graven images and things like that to do. But he exposed them. And what happened? The people saw it. They fell on their faces. They said, the Lord, he is God. And Elijah said unto them, take the prophets of Baal, let not one of them escape. And they took them. And Elijah brought them down to the brook Kishon and slew them there. And then an amazing verse. And Elijah said unto Ahab, I thought to myself, Ahab didn't really care that they were gone. Because the government doesn't really care about them preachers. They're just tools to get more power. That's all they are. And that's what's happening. So that's why we preach about the truth about grace. That's why we expose false teachers and false apostles and false brethren and false prophets, as the Bible says in the New Testament that they were going to be, especially in the last days. Evil men are going to wax worse and worse. So the worst type of man in the world is somebody who teaches somebody else that what they believe, which is an error, is actually the truth. That's what Satan did in the garden, and that's what these false teachers are doing right now. And it doesn't matter how big their congregations are. It doesn't matter how polished they are, how good they speak. It doesn't matter how motivational they are. What defines a man of God, what defines a church of God, is the scriptures. And if we're not lying, what defines a Christian? The scriptures. Not our private interpretation of the scriptures, but the scriptures. And the Spirit of God is one spirit. So things that are different are not the same. It's really, really simple, guys. It's really simple until you get liberalism. And where did liberalism start? In the church. That's where it started. Well, let me back up. It started in the garden, but it continues through the churches, because the governments of the community are always reflective of the pulpits of that community. I could take you to Lakewood City Council, and I believe most of them go to a church somewhere. They are involved in some church somewhere, and yet they just unanimously passed a resolution that said that a woman should have a right to an abortion, shouldn't be able to be investigated, or a doctor who does an abortion shouldn't be able to be investigated in the city of Lakewood. I mean, that's pretty wicked. That's pretty reprobate. But they go to church somewhere. So you see where the real problem is. So Elijah shows us, you go to the source of the problem. You go to the preachers and you point out the preachers and you try to salvage some of the people so that they don't continue down the road of falsehood, because my Bible says their damnation slumbereth. That's those preachers. Their damnation slumber. So that's why we preach about grace. And what effect is grace? We talked a little bit about how these false teachers teach grace as they twist it, they turn it into something that it's not. And so we started looking at Paul's life and how Paul got saved on the road to Damascus. And then going to Galatians chapter number 1, we see what effect grace had on Paul's life. And the first thing it did was it gave him an unquestionable salvation. This wasn't something man taught them. You know, there's a lot of men teaching people falsehoods about salvation. There's a lot of children I meet later in life who have no idea what they did, have no idea that they got saved, have no idea why they got saved, have no idea at all. And they come, they're confused, and they're told, well, you got saved when you were 6 there, Bobby. And Bobby, I remember, I was there when you prayed. I was there when you did this. Shouldn't we remember when we get saved? Shouldn't we remember? We shouldn't have to go to mom and dad, hey, mom, dad, when did I get saved? We should be able to know we got saved. And when you get it revealed from Jesus Christ that you're lost and on your way to hell, and you deal with that conviction and you trust Christ, You're going to know that you're saved. The Spirit itself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. It's going to be the real deal. And you're going to know it wasn't taught by man. Now, I'm not saying man doesn't have a part in it, because how should they hear without a preacher? But it is the word of God. Just saying somebody, hey, repeat this prayer after me. That people can do that without the Spirit of God. Children can do that all day long. Adults can do that all day long. And it does not mean that they're spiritually born again. It has to be revealed by the Spirit of God and revelation of Jesus Christ that I am lost on my way to hell, and he's the only answer, and then I trust him for salvation. I believe and receive him, and that brings salvation. And it brought an unquestionable salvation. In fact, later on in Galatians chapter 1, verse 23, but they that heard only that he which persecuted us in time past now preacheth the faith which once he destroyed. Is unquestionable. You ever look at somebody and say, I thought they said they were saved? That wasn't happening in Paul's life, because Paul truly repented. True repentance reflected in the grace of God being poured out, where he now, the one who persecuted the faith, was now preaching the faith. There was a 180-degree turnabout in his life, that the direction he was headed was against God, and he turned for God now, and his life began to pattern after that. So grace was evident because of an unquestionable salvation. Then he goes on and talks about how he persecuted the church of God, how he profited in the Jews' religion, many above his equals. He was more zealous of the traditions of his father. So, you know, one of the things that grace deals with, it deals with our past. And one of the ways that is an evidence of how people, you know, they're saved is they've dealt with the past in a right way. You cannot change the past. But the unpleasant past that you have experienced, that you have known, that maybe you have done, maybe you have been the recipient of, grace reveals to you that the past is dealt with through Jesus Christ. And the past is taken care of through Jesus Christ. Paul had an unpleasant past to forget. Man, he killed Christians. He sentenced them to death. He hailed them off to prison. He persecuted the church of God. But grace gave him the victory over his unpleasant past. And I'm telling you, God's grace is sufficient for your past today. You don't need anything else but God's grace and God's healing. That's the healing that you need. Well, I meet a lot of people that are praying for God to heal them physically, and there ain't nothing wrong with that. But there's, you know, if it was about healing physically, why didn't Paul heal himself? He clearly had some issues physically. Why didn't Paul go over and heal Timothy? Why didn't he go over and heal Epaphras? Why didn't he go and do it? It's not about the physical healing, but there's nothing wrong with praying for relief and God to do those things. But why do we want him to heal us? Because of suffering. And I'm telling you, Paul said three times to the Lord, take it away, Lord, take it away, Lord, take it away, Lord. He said he besought the Lord thrice. And here's what God said. Paul, I'm not taking away. But what I am going to give you, my grace is sufficient for thee. So Paul said, well, if you're not going to take it away and you give me your grace, your grace is more important than my suffering. So I will glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. So his grace is available for that. Paul had an unquestionable salvation. He had an unpleasant past. He had an uncomfortable surrender to the will of God. Of course, you know, anything easy is probably not of God. It's simple to follow the Lord. It's simple to walk with God. But it's not easy because you have this flesh. But the Bible says in Galatians 1:15, but when it pleased God who separated me from my mother's womb and called me by his grace to reveal his son in me that I might preach him among the heathen, immediately I conferred not with flesh and blood. This is one of those rare occasions where God not only saves somebody, but he reveals his calling immediately. And he said he revealed to me I was going to be a preacher. And Acts 9 tells us that through Ananias, it was revealed that he would bear his name before the Gentiles, before the kings, and before Israel, and that he would suffer for the name of the Lord's sake. And he said, the first thing was, I conferred not with flesh and blood. He said, not doing it, not going. And that was uncomfortable for him. But grace is available for the uncomfortable surrender to Christ, to do the will of God. Yeah, people are going to mock you. People are going to laugh at you. The people you used to hang out with, and now you used to go drinking with them, but see, you get saved. When you get saved, you quit drinking alcohol. I can tell you stories of preachers, even locally, that call themselves preachers, that go out and get drunk with their church members. They are wicked to the core, vile, false teachers. Their damnation sleepeth, and they're called to repentance. You quit drinking when you get saved. You don't pick up drinking or moderate drinking. You quit drinking when you get saved. And so I don't even know where I was going with that. Oh, the uncomfortable surrender. So yeah, Peter says this. You should live your life in a way when you get saved that the people you used to go with look at you, used to riotously live. They look at you and say, man, you're strange now. Man, something's happened to you. And they can't hang around you anymore. That kind of blows up the doctrine of infiltration versus separation. You just preach the gospel and the grace of God is evident. It's going to be uncomfortable, but it's profitable. It's profitable because it brings glory to God. But grace is available. I don't know what God's calling you. I meet people all the time. I just preached to the teenagers this week at Heritage Christian School. And my heart was swelling with just joy and tears in my eyes, looking at the potential of what God could do if people are willing to surrender their life. But you know what those young people have to do? They have to be willing to go against their own peers who maybe are complacent and comfortable in what they're doing and say, you know what? I think God's called me to preach. And they got to get up and walk down an aisle and go testify that that's the case. That's uncomfortable. But grace is available to do it, to do the right thing. It's uncomfortable to stand at a city council meeting and testify for the Lord Jesus Christ. But grace is available to do it. He had an uncomfortable surrender and grace took care of it. He had an undeniable change. Everybody knew what he used to be. Even when after Paul got saved in Acts chapter 9, he goes to Jerusalem and the disciples are like, you're not coming in here. We know, we've heard all about you. Even Ananias, when Paul came to, or God came to Ananias, he said, Ananias, I want you to go down to the house of but he said, go down there, there's a man named Saul. I want you to go tell him. He goes, God, now I'm paraphrasing this, obviously. He's saying, God, I've heard about this Saul guy. You know, he persecutes people like us. Are you sure this is the guy you want? He's, don't worry. I've told him there's a man named Ananias coming down. He's going to tell him what he's going to do. And you know, when Ananias came, he addressed Saul. He said, brother Saul. Okay, brother Saul, here's the deal. He totally trusted the Lord in that. But he goes to Jerusalem and the disciples are like, uh-uh. So Barnabas comes along and said, no, I've heard him preaching. He was preaching over in Damascus. I heard him over there. And he preaches now the faith from which he persecuted, and he came among them, and there was an undeniable change. Is there an undeniable change that you've been saved? Is there an undeniable change in your life? I mean, undeniable spiritual change. Listen, unsaved people can give up drinking. Unsaved people can give up smoking. Unsaved people can give up certain things. Unsaved people can stop watching this and going there. Unsaved people can do that. We've seen it. People can diet. They do this. I'm talking about spiritual change. I'm talking the attitude of your heart being repentive and humble and willing to receive a correction and instruction and in righteousness and willing to have a heart change. There was an undeniable change. The brethren whom he hated, they weren't his brethren. He hated the Christians. He now loves the Christians. There was an undeniable change. How did that happen? That was by grace. It was undeniable. And you know why it was undeniable? And I mentioned this in the first half hour. Because the grace that Paul exhibited was lived within the defined boundaries of what grace produces. You say, preacher, what do you mean? Well, here's what I mean. Titus 2 says, for the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared unto all men, teaching us. See, grace teaches us. Grace teaches us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. See, grace teaches us there's some things you got to say no to. There's some things that are not acceptable anymore. There's some lines you can't cross as a Christian. There are boundaries to your liberty. So if your preacher gets up and doesn't teach you that grace, doesn't teach you about denying ungodliness and worldly lust, and teaches you it's okay to indulge in those things, that's not grace. That's license. And that preacher is actually acting as a spiritual authority, telling you you have license to sin. Now, the average person doesn't sit there and look at it that way. They look at it as, look at the freedom we have in Christ. Man, we're not legalists. And that's not legal. I went through the last half hour. Man, these guys, man, they got all these rules over there. No. What we're doing is we're staying within the boundaries that are established, which maintain freedom. Do you know if we stayed within the Constitution of America, we would stay within the limited government and enjoy the freedoms that God has given to us, the unalienable rights of life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness? But what's happening, people? What's happening is we've gone beyond the bounds of the Constitution, and now you have radical, wicked, vile people who are leading this country and taking away the freedoms that have been enshrined in that. And that's what's happening all over churches, all over this fruited plain, because the preachers aren't even preaching these boundaries. But you know, the Bible says, 1 Corinthians 6:12 tells us, all things are lawful, but not all things are expedient. All things are lawful, but I will not be brought under the power of any. So if you exercise your liberty in a way that brings you under the power of something or someone other than Christ, you are no longer in liberty. You are no longer under grace in that way. You are now into license, lasciviousness, licentiousness. So you can't live your life in a way that would bring you under the power of someone or something. 1 Corinthians 8:9 says, but take heed lest by any means this liberty of yours become a stumbling block to them that are weak. You know, you better watch what you do, because there's younger believers who are watching you, and you may embolden their conscience to do the wrong thing. And God says, if you wound another brother's conscience to do the wrong thing, ye do sin against Christ. So there's a boundary right there. 1 Corinthians 10, verse 23 says, all things are lawful. All things are not expedient, but all things are lawful for me, but all things edify not. If we're indulging in things that are destroying or unprofitable spiritually or physically, guess what, my friends? That's not grace. That's not liberty. That's putting yourself back into bondage. How about Galatians 5:13, where it says, for brethren, ye have been called unto liberty, only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another. We can't choose to indulge in the flesh and glorify the flesh. We're supposed to, through charity, love, we're supposed to make our choices. And 1 Peter says that I must exercise my liberty as a servant of God, not be a malicious. Oh, there's so much false teaching about grace today. So much false teaching about life and liberty. And so many of these charlatans, you know, there's going to be a lot of preachers, the Bible says, they're going to stand before God one day and they're going to say, but oh Lord, we've done so many wonderful works in your name. I mean, we've cast out devils in your name. And the Lord's going to say, depart from me, ye that work iniquity. Ye that work iniquity, for I never knew you. Depart from me. Boy, I tell you, you know, I tell our church all the time, you stay in your Bible, that'll help keep me pure and keep you pure. Because you'll be able to identify whether someone's teaching the truth or not. But so many of you put your head in your sand. You don't care anymore because you're following a personality and you're going to follow them right into hell. And I love you too much to tell you, you need to repent and you need to get in the Word of God. Thy Word is truth. Trust Christ today and be saved. If you are saved, live for Christ. Let the grace of God be evident in your life. Thanks for listening. I hope you'll stay tuned. Pastor Rusnacko is coming up next. God bless.
You've been listening to Live with Pastor Al. To learn more about Pastor Al Davis and Live with Pastor Al, visit our website at livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. You can also listen to past programs at livewithpastoral.com, read articles on a variety of topics by Pastor Al at livewithpastoral.com. Pastor Al Davis invites you to join him at the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio, Sunday morning at 11 or Sunday evening at 6. Or you can join us for our Friday night Bible study tonight from 7 p.m. The Bible Baptist Church meets at 4174 Wheatley Road, Suite 200 in Richfield every Sunday at 11 a.m. and 6 p.m., and then every Friday at 7. You can contact Pastor Al by writing Pastor Al Davis at Post Office Box 452, Richfield, Ohio 44286. Or you can email Pastor Al at pastoral@maplenoel.us. Join us for more live conversation this Sunday night from 11 to midnight, and again next Friday afternoon from 1:30 to 2, right here on AM 1220, The Word. Late Night Live with Pastor Al is brought to you by the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio.